Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and with me tonight is, of course, my partner in crime, the greatest podcaster in all of North America, in my estimation, the wonderful, the butter pecan bronze skin chocolate deluxe, Lady J, the Daffer herself, the unshakable, as Martin Slam Duncan likes to call you, Daff J. Catch us up and say hello to your friends.
Hello, friends.
Were you expecting the intro?
I wasn't.
I just freestyled that. That was off the top of the head.
That was off the dome?
Off the dome. That's how I roll. How's it going, Daff J?
It's cold.
It's cold, but as cold as it is right now, and uncomfortable as it is in our beautiful city of Toronto, you are the butter bronze pecan skin Lady J right now because you have just returned home from a fantastic
amazeballs
vacation. Where'd you go? I know where you went. I was with you. We have it documented.
We went to the Mayan Riviera.
Yeah. Do you know? Do you remember what they said? It's actually called the city where the Mayan Riviera is.
So I've come to know something.
Tell me.
I don't actually listen when people speak to me. I really try. I think I just get a little distracted. So when this was being said to us, I think you were the only one that was paying attention.
Thank goodness. So we went to Quintana Roo.
Ooh.
Ooh. You like that?
We went there?
That's where we went.
Sure.
That's where the Mayan Riviera is.
Okay.
Right? So, yes, we are being self-indulgent right now talking about our vacation, but I had to explain why you're so tanned and golden. We had a good time. It was a celebration of 10 years of us being united in holy matrimony, as they say.
We in those double digits.
We hit the double digits, so we went back to where it all started. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic time.
It really was.
We did some adventures.
Lots of adventures.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask you about. That's why I brought it up. Because it ties into the theme of the podcast nicely.
Does it?
Of course it does.
Okay. So, I don't know what we're doing. I'm here for the ride.
You don't know what this is a off the top of the dome episode.
Okay.
This isn't a review or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's not a top five.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We're just going.
Yeah.
That's what you like, right?
I do, but I feel a little bit inequipped.
Inequipped or ill-equipped?
Ascent. Let's just go with it.
Let's just go with it. So we did, the thing about Mexican trips that I forgot is that the excursions and things that you get to do there are a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you get the best bang for your buck. You get to see, you can go to the pyramids, you can see a little bit of history, or you could do like real good adventurous things. Mm-hmm. So we went to a place called Explore.
Yes.
And we went to a place called Xel-Há. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Xel-Há was snorkeling and we did some cliff diving.
Yes, we did.
Well, I don't know how big of a cliff it is, but it was big enough for me. We did some,
enough for you to hesitate.
Very much.
For half an hour.
We'll get into that. Hey, don't blow my cover.
We did snorkeling.
We did snorkeling. We did
tightrope walking.
Yep.
Some kind of obstacle course.
Yep.
Thing like a Blue Mountain where they have it in the woods, but this was over water.
That's it. And then
slides.
That was the best water slide of my life. We did this water slide that went, I don't know, it was like a lighthouse. Went mm-hmm. to the top of a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And we climbed those stairs.
Whoa.
You were ready to go back. You were ready to just walk back down because you didn't want to finish the climb. That's how high it was.
Yeah.
It was good. And you gained some good speed on that sucker. Mm-hmm. And then when you went to the Explorer, we did zip lines. That was some Batman-esque zip lines.
What?
That's what I want to talk about. All these adventures that you did. Did you feel like a superhero?
You know what? Yeah. Yeah,
right?
I did.
I was thinking, as much as you're supposed to go across these zip lines and take in the nature and look through the jungle below you, I was thwipping. I was doing thwip, the yeah. Spider-Man thwip.
I have video footage.
Yeah. Because I'm like, this is the closest I'll ever get to the feeling of going across on you know, whether it's a bat line or spider webs or whatever it is. It's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. Terrified of heights. I've learned that about myself.
But you feel invincible once you've conquered it, right?
You know, I realized today.
All these realizations.
Yeah, I realized today. It wasn't high, that cliff that I jumped from.
It was 16?
Something feet? Like that. It wasn't high. I'm
not, okay.
For some people, like, that's nothing. I've done a 30-foot cliff drop off a bridge. Good for you. For me, I'm going to do it because I'm terrified of it. But I feel like I'm staring death in the face. Even though there's no chance of me dying, right? I feel like it's that feeling of, for a moment, your fear of whatever you don't know is going to happen or what it's going to feel like. You embrace it for that moment. Mm-hmm. And you just say, screw it. I'm jumping. I'm jumping off this cliff. Let me feel what it would feel like to free fall for however long it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's those little fears that unknown of, I don't know how it's going to turn out, that you just do it. Mm-hmm. And that's that feeling of conquering it.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you watch a movie. You know, some people say, like, oh, if you watch this, it means you enjoy that. No, I've learned that about myself. Batman jumping off the top of a tower and then spreading out the cape and jumping through a window. I watch it because I'm like, I would love, that'd be amazing. I will never do that crap. And I learned that during the thing. Because I'm like, as much as I'm entertained by that, I will never, ever do it.
It's not your life. Cup of tea.
It's as implausible as it sounds. Like, obviously, you're not going to jump off a tower and thwip a web, right? Even jumping out of a plane. Screw it.
If you were, like, suspended to a professional?
I don't know, man. It's just you know, sometimes people like to make those statements like, well, if you're watching it, it means that's what you like. And it's like, no, I'm watching it because it's something I'll never do.
You're living vicariously.
I'm never going to do it. I never really want to do it. It's just the fantasy of, can you imagine if? But when the push comes to shove, like, no, I'm not going to do that crap. But jumping off that mini cliff, I'm proud that I did it.
Yeah.
How'd you feel? You went ahead of me. You were more brave than I was. Clearly, you're the Batman of the two of us.
I didn't.
You're the daredevil.
I didn't hesitate.
Not at all.
I tried. And even when there were certain things that were limited for me, I guess, I still tried to give it a chance. I didn't want to let it overtake.
Exactly.
My experience. I figured, let me just try it. I'll do the best I can. And if I fall, I fall. If she dies, she dies.
That kind of. Rocky IV.
But we, like, you know, within reason too, right? I'm not, by no means am I some kind of daredevil where I'll just do anything. I have respect for the water. Unspoken respect, like the respect
that you have for the water.
I salute the waves. I'll only do what I do, though, that you would think is, you know, oh, she'll, you know, jump off of this. I need to have a life jacket. I need to have a helmet. I might look like I have a penis. I may look like
the Great Gazoo.
But I, as long as I'm equipped for the adventure, I'm willing to try anything once. Because then I feel like I can give a knowledgeable opinion as to whether it's something that I enjoyed, something that I would recommend, something that I hated, you know, because then I wouldn't invest my money and timing in it a second go. Like, yeah. I would have known that I liked it or not.
You gotta try it once.
I have to.
Are you like that with food too?
Absolutely.
Is there any food you will never try?
I would never eat dog.
Principle.
Just, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Just because of the principle, regardless of how anyone said it tasted. Principle.
Principle.
Yeah, I feel you on that. That's the only things I wouldn't eat, too.
That being said, though, like, if I wasn't told of what something was, not that I'll just put, you know, I'll just eat anything. But if I went to someone's house, mm-hmm, and they graciously shared an ethnic dish, you know, and they didn't tell me what it was, I wouldn't be like, I'm not going to eat this if I don't know what it is. I'll eat it. I'll give it a go.
What if someone served you something that, from your principles, they didn't tell you what it was, and then afterwards they told you? Would you leave? Would you?
I would feel, I'd feel a little,
misled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
what I'm saying is, how do I say it? I mean, I wouldn't want to be like, you know, I'll only eat this and I'm not going to eat what you serve me kind of thing. But I hope the person has some kind of dignity to say, this is what I'm serving.
I hope the person has a dignity not to serve me things like that.
Well, yeah, of course. Principles. Of course, right? You would hope. But, you know, there's so many people with different backgrounds and different, like, and maybe it's not necessarily a food item. Maybe it's a garnish. That you never thought. Maybe that sauce is a little saucier than you wanted it to be. Maybe, I don't know. Like, you know, in Indiana Jones, is it the
monkey brain?
Yeah, like right? That's the delicacy. You know, some people have like tongue.
Would you eat snake? Would you eat snake?
Do snakes have pain receptacles? I don't know.
Ew.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. No.
That was hilarious. That.
I don't know if I want to eat anything that can taste me. You know, I'm a pescatarian also, sometimes. Let me clear that up. So for a while I was a pescatarian, I really was. Yes. And then my boss thought I changed religions. And I'm like, no, this is, no, I'm not, I didn't switch anything. It means that all I do, the only type of meat that I have is fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on this fish kick. And you know what? We don't really eat meat here because I don't really know how to cook it.
That's not true.
No. I don't, okay? With the chicken, I have to keep cutting it all the time to see if it's still pink. And then if it's beef, you have to, like, make sure it is kind of pink, but not too pink, but not, you know, I don't want it to be blue, but then I don't want it to be chewy. It's one of those fine arts that I don't know. I haven't fully come to understand. So the easiest thing really is some tilapia in the oven for 12-15 minutes, and that's my go-to. Now we'll go out to dinner and like splurge.
Listen.
On some kind of, me myself, I'm not speaking for you, but like that's how did we get on this topic?
I'm not sure how you got on this tangent, but what I'm gonna say this, look, Daf J was once pescatarian.
Was once. Didn't I just say, I wasn't making it up.
You were making it up. But I don't want to put you on blast, but I'm going to put you on blast right now. Because you just came back from an all-inclusive trip, and you ate a lot of beef. You weren't cooking it, but you'd had no problem eating numerous pieces.
But I had more fish than I had meat.
You did have you did have
and
fish.
And when they were grilling the steak, the ¿cómo se llama? How they would say
we're speaking Spanish now.
El bistec.
Yeah.
And you know la chuleta and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I kept asking for pescado.
You still had you had a
and
piece
langosta.
Of pescado and langosta to go with your carne. Okay? let's call it what it is. You are not a practicing pescatarian. Okay, we need to take you to church. Okay. Moving along. The blasphemous Dab J is your new name.
That's terrible.
While we were away, one of the cool things is that you kind of shut stuff off and aren't keeping up with everything that's happening. We tap into the social media every now and again. One of the things we didn't see when it got released and everyone was talking about was the Avengers Infinity War official trailer. So we saw it there on our last day right before we were going to leave.
That's right.
We tapped into the Wi-Fi. We sat together, we watched the trailer. You're not a big trailer fan, correct?
Correct.
But you do, you'll usually watch it like one time when it like first comes out, get an idea of what you might be getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. But you're not like, next one. You don't want to see that.
Not interested.
I respect that. But I do respect the fact that you see the first trailer, at least, to get it to the, I'll watch that, or no, I'm not going to watch that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. What'd you think of the Avengers Infinity War? We're at a point now, and before I get you to answer the question, just want to preface it by saying we're at the point now where it seems like there's a superhero movie coming out every 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you go to the theaters right now, you've got Justice League and Thor to watch. Like, there was a time when we got excited for Spider-Man coming out that year.
Uh-huh.
Or X-Men coming out that year.
Right.
Right now, you've got Justice League and Thor playing in the theater simultaneously. And in the summertime, you had Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. And then you go on TV, and you've got all these different superhero franchises. Netflix just released Punisher. Are you exhausted by it all? Are you like, I'm not excited anymore of this Avengers, all this. It's just enough already.
Am I exhausted? I don't know if I'm exhausted, but I think I generally am not as interested.
Doesn't get you as excited.
No, mm-hmm. Because I guess there's some kind of outlet, there's some kind of availability, whether it's in the small screen, the silver screen, whether it's Netflix, there's something always there. So yeah. It's not that I'm not happy that it's there, but at the same time, it's a bit much. It almost feels like, you know, you missed one, you missed everything. You're almost always falling behind.
Did you ever feel like there's at some point when you watch these things now, it's and people will be like, so how was it? Some people still are excited, like, I can't believe that we got to see that. I never thought when I was a kid that I would see this on TV. I'm not one of those people because I feel like I'd rather you not make something than to say it's made and it's not good. I'm not satisfied. I'm like, well, at least we have it. No, that's not good enough for me. If it's not good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, sometimes I find myself leaving these theaters or whatever, having had fun, but I'm kind of like, shoulder shrug. Okay, it's there. Whatever.
Big deal.
Whereas earlier on, I'm like, oh, it's cool. I can't believe like we're getting this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's kind of like, all right, next. You know what I mean? But,
like, the novelty's kind of worn off.
Yeah. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I'm not sure. I'm kind of like on the fence right now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this alcoholic
beverage,
creamy deliciousness, and I kind of love.
Were you listening to me, or do we have to go back to the Quintana Roo conversation of not listening to people?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta go back. Rewind. Yeah.
No, I got you. I got you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot. A lot's going on.
So. Anyways, Avengers Infinity War.
Smell it. It's so good.
Smells great. Fantastic. How did you find the trailer after my long preamble to the question?
First of all, it's been less than a week that I saw it, I think.
Yeah.
Don't really remember it.
Would you like to rewatch it?
Huh.
Huh.
I think what I do remember, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember feeling and vocalizing to you that there's a lot of people in this movie.
Right.
A lot of people in this
movie.
Heck, although I was like, what? Like, that was all excited. But even the Guardians made an appearance at the very end. Who knows? Maybe that's just like the little cameo at the end of this film. Maybe they're not going to be a main feature in this particular movie.
Yeah.
I almost hope not. I want there to be a tease maybe at the end, but it did seem like there was a lot happening. Everybody was everywhere. And now because they've been developed so much so in their own stories, they got their own crew. You know what I mean? Black Panther didn't come out yet, no, right?
No.
But in this feature film, why are you laughing?
Feature film.
Well, okay, in this movie, in this flick, he's got like an army. It's not just him.
No.
It's everyone and him. And it's everyone his in kingdom. His thing, right? And then there's Captain America and there's Falcon and there's, you know, Winter Soldier and like all that, that gang. You know what I mean? Like, everybody. Everybody is in it.
That's a great way to summarize it. Everybody.
I don't know. I think some. You know how there's that lady rule about how before you leave the house, just take one thing off because less is more.
Okay.
Did you know there was a lady rule?
I didn't. I didn't know that.
I learned this about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. They say like just take one item off, like one piece of jewelry or something, like just kind of tone it down just before you leave the house because that's just the thing to kind of just give it its
Okay. What if you already did that when you were getting ready though? Like what if you were getting ready and you put on everything you needed and as you're looking in the mirror, you take that one thing off. You still have to take another thing off before you walk out the door?
Well, that's the idea. You take it off once you give yourself the one over.
Okay.
And you're like, yeah, that's a little too chunky.
Do you do that?
Well, this is the thing. I'm a little bit of a minimalist. I don't really wear, you know, I don't really wear accessories. The most I wear is my rings and my watch. And that's it. These earrings I've had since I was like.
Minimalist, I would say no earrings, no watch, no rings.
Like but nothing. No, have you seen these ladies? They have hoop earrings and they got things in the hair and then they got belts and they got buckles and they got heels. Have you seen me look like that? Why the pause?
Because you go out, and I think you look really nice. So you're making
it. You're also biased.
No, it's okay, perhaps, but I also like you're making it sound like you go out looking like a mess. Do you see these people? They got this, they got that. They go out looking like they mean business. Well, do you see me looking like that? And I'm like,
like shiny. They're all like shiny and like glittery and.
They tried. They tried hard.
Well, some people look like they tried hard. Effort, and maybe in my this is why we need a theme because we go talking about
this is the best. This is the best.
Going straying way left.
No,
not in left field.
No, this is great.
What I'm trying to say is, there's some people that, you know, sometimes overdo it. They overcompensate maybe at times, and then there's people like me. Not that I think I'm a mess. But I'm comfortable in a clean pair of white chucks. You know what I mean? I don't have to wear the heels I don't have to click clack when
You prefer to wear a dress with white chucks. You've actually done it.
100%. And now some people mean like, well, that's stupid. Well,
you don't care.
You're not on this podcast, so keep your opinions to yourself. But you know what I mean?
You don't give a flying fadoo.
But anyway, how did we get that?
You were saying the lady rule, less is more.
Less is more. And I think they are breaking the rule a bit in this film because of the amount of appearances that are here.
Right.
And that's just the good guys.
Right.
There's no bad guys yet. Well, we saw a few. One, at least.
Yeah, you saw... Finally, you saw Thanos.
Finally, but he's been like built up in the make, like years in the making.
Do you think the build up has taken too long? That now you're kind of like at the point where okay, get on with it already. Because it's gonna be 10 years, right?
Not so much get on with it already. It was more like oh yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, or that too.
Like
right?
How many movies ago did he say, "Well, I'm gonna have to do this myself"? Like that was probably like four movies ago.
More than that.
I'm exaggerating, but I'm being sarcastic, you know what I mean? Like, it was so long ago that they introduced him, and then to the point, they've done so many movies where I forgot about him. And then, now that he finally makes an appearance, I'm like, oh yeah, let me see what you can do, finally, now, then. Right. But that all that being said, I think it was a cool trailer. From what I remember.
You're right. I agree with you. The trailer looked good, but it really made me feel like I know it's Avengers, and I know they've done this before where they have a cast.
And why was the Black Widow a blonde?
I'm not sure.
Is there a... I hope she's wearing a wig. I hope that's a very temporary in the middle of a mission.
Doesn't look like it, but... yeah, you've got everybody now. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody's going to be in it. And the Guardians, I don't think, are going to make a cameo. I think they're going to have a role to play. Because their movies were setting up a lot of the Infinity Gems or stones, right? That's true, because
Del Toro was one of the guys. Collectors. He was the collector.
Yeah, so their whole arc has a lot to do in tying in and setting up characters. Like, in the last movie, do you remember the people that were all in gold?
Yes.
I forgot what they were called. Anyways, at the end of the Guardians, you see that cocoon that they're talking about creating, the one, right? And that's going to be Adam Warlock. And he's a major character in the Infinity Gauntlet.
I don't know who that is.
You haven't seen him yet. But he'll be introduced in the Infinity War as one of the, I think, the one of the major players. And then you got Doctor Strange, who's going to have a major role. And there's all these different... Spider-Man's going to be in it. It's going to be crazy. Yep. And you're just wondering if...
And Aunt May figured out his identity.
In the last movie, yeah.
So she's going to have something to say. She's going to be in that. You know what I mean?
Do you think she'll show up in this movie, or she'll be in the second Spider-Man movie? I don't know. She might. They might just cameo her.
And see, that's the thing, right? It's almost like they ought to have her show up. They have, like, what? How could you not? You know what I mean? In a way.
I guess.
In a way, I think. But at the same time, like, I don't think it's a... It's not a win or a loss if she's not in it. But she is one of those auxiliary characters that is kind of important. So you kind of want to see... Well, I want to see what she has to say about this. Like, don't tell me Peter is going to go out on this, like, you know, world... exterminating mission, and she's not going to have anything to say about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is like the war of all wars kind of thing.
Yeah.
So is Aunt May not going to say, hey, take your jacket? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, do you have your gloves and your hat? Like,
you're hilarious.
I'm just saying, like, how could
you're
she
saying.
Not
I get what you're saying.
Show up? But then that's just another character in the movie. Even if she's there for just 30 seconds, it's just another person.
Yeah. I think... Because they could even, if they wanted to, tie in the Netflix characters, because they're part of the same universe, right? They could show them. They could put Luke Cage, they could put Daredevil, all those people. And they've been part of the Avengers before. My thing is, watching it, I feel there's a lot of information that you need to know going into this movie. Not saying you had to have watched every other movie going in. It's more like you're showing me a trailer that is giving away or giving me information that I'm expected to know that I haven't seen yet because you haven't put it in the theater yet. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. There's certain story progressions. Like, why is it a big deal that Captain America is emerging from the shadow? Mm-hmm. When T'Challa says, get this man a shield. Why? What happened? I can't recollect why he would have a beard and he'd be in hiding.
Because didn't he and Tony, after Civil War, he was kind of like, if you ever need me, I'm here. But they had some kind of falling out.
They had a falling out, but for him
and
to kind
of
be...
And then Winter Soldier was under the custody of the Black Panther in his kingdom, kind of like...
That's what I mean. There's certain things where you leave off. Now this is given away that whatever you didn't know, something happened.
Do you like Cap with the beard?
Yeah, it's all right. I don't really... I'm neither here nor there for it.
Do they ever do that in the comics?
I think so. I think they do. I can't, in my mind's eye, see it, but I think they do. But I think it's more of one of those things. There's obviously something that has happened before this trailer that I'm supposed to know that I haven't been given any sort of... it hasn't come out yet. You know, it's almost like you're getting too far ahead of me.
Well, Black Panther hasn't come out yet, so maybe there's something that is explained in that movie.
Maybe there's something explained in that movie, but I feel like you've kind of, in a way, spoiled for me any sort of
storytelling in that area?
Yeah, like, well, obviously something happened here. I don't know what, but in between this movie and that movie, there's going to, you know, you're giving away something that I've missed out now on seeing for myself. That's what I kind of felt.
Hmm.
So I don't know what it is, but obviously, like, there's no, I'm not going to go into Black Panther thinking that he's going to be damaged.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what? Because I know he's in Infinity War and he's going to play a major role. So now I'm going to watch Black Panther just sitting there like, all right, tell me the story. There's no real feeling of me to have, like, the consequences or the stakes. Because I know he's already in the trailer.
He's going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And I never question whether he would be in the movie, but you're already showing me a lot of what he's doing in the next one before this initial one comes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's kind of like watching or seeing a...
It's like seeing a prequel before the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's like if you were to see BVS and they already showing you Justice League trailers with Superman back. So when you watch BVS, you're like, oh, he died in this movie, but I already know he's in the next one, so he comes back. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've given up certain things ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that's my only criticism of it, but it does look like a lot of fun. And I've learned things about female fashion through this conversation. Like, that's what I love about the tangents.
That's what they told me.
Hey,
so
it's all good.
Anyway.
Moving along, sticking with Marvel. There's a lot of talks of Disney and Marvel brokering a deal where Marvel, or sorry, Disney and Fox, did I say that, or Disney and Marvel?
You said Disney and Marvel.
Sorry, let me rewind the tape. Disney and Fox brokering a deal that could combine certain properties or revert certain properties back to Disney, which in turn gives them to Marvel, but also they would be in control of, I think, the movie properties of Fox. Now,
is okay. Can I ask you a quick question?
Segue.
When you say Fox, like the company FOX, like the
Yes, that's the song.
Okay. Is that the same Fox as like Fox News?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I was just wondering.
A lot of people are excited about it because for the fans, it means the X-Men will go back to Marvel Studios. And Marvel Studios will now be... And you can technically have Wolverine in an Avengers movie now. And you can have the Avengers versus X-Men movie now if you wanted to. Okay. That would be possible. You can...
Question!
Shoot.
If there was an Avengers and X-Men movie, what team would you be on? Like, you know how they had, like, a stupid BVS?
Mm.
What if they had an X-Men versus Avengers?
Sorry, I'm just having a sip of my
drink. It sounded like you're uninterested with your long pause.
That's why I had to say, take it easy. I explain myself.
Come on.
Is it based off of just my like,
yes,
which team
anything.
I like?
Let's go right now. 1, 2, 3.
Avengers.
Really?
Yeah. You may put pressure on me. I couldn't think about it. There was no moment of, like, pause. And
why?
Like, let me reflect.
Why the Avengers?
I like Cap. I like...
You like Wolverine?
I like Wolverine.
And who would be in the X-Men?
Who would be in the X-Men? I'd want to see the classics. I'd want to see Colossus, Jean Grey. I want to see Wolverine, Storm. Is it Colossus or Cyclops?
I could do without Cyclops. I like Gambit. I want Gambit in there.
Yeah, Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need Cyclops more for the character and the tension that's created with him with other people, him and Wolverine, or him and... I think maybe the original, like Beast. I want those guys, the originals.
Right.
But there's so many X-Men that you can put in. So many mutants. And
okay,
I don't know.
Pick one mutant that will go against Cap. In this hypothetical Avengers v X-Men.
Cap, go against Cap. I don't know. I guess based off of their backgrounds, you could say Wolverine versus Cap, because Wolverine was in the army. He's got military training. He was a soldier.
Beautiful.
Cap is a soldier.
Beautiful.
They've been heightened. I think ultimately Wolverine would win that fight because he just regenerates.
Mm.
Right? And mm-hmm. he's, but I think Cap is a little...
Doesn't Cap do that too, though, just at a slower rate?
He does. I mean, it's a... I think tactically Cap would win. He's more of a strategist than Wolverine would be, but then Wolverine's got the hunting sensibilities and the instincts, the animal instincts. It would be interesting. He's got adamantium claws. He's got a vibranium shield. The adamantium won't go through vibranium.
Ooh.
But if he just keeps on going berserker mode. But the thing would be is not so much, it wouldn't so much be a fight of hero versus hero or character versus character. It would be more of a ideological battle.
Why do you think this is? Why do you think we like seeing our superheroes fight each other?
It's this. It's just seeing who we like the hypothetical of like who would win and people. It's almost more of a challenge of wits to come up with who would win because there's no right answer. Mm-hmm. As much as people want to say, oh, no question, this guy would do it. Oh, Batman would totally beat this guy or yada yada. Anyone could beat anybody. Who's writing the story and why? You can take. It all comes down to the wit of the writer and the people who understand the character's capabilities, right? So all this time, you take a character like Vision, who's basically unstoppable when you look at all of what he can do, and then you take a character like Martian Manhunter, who is virtually unstoppable with all he can do because he's a telepath as well.
Yeah.
And he's telekinetic and he can be invisible. Like, he's the ultimate mutant.
Shapeshifter,
everything. As strong as Superman. But then you light a match and he's done. And then the Vision can't be stopped.
I feel like the Vision hasn't done anything. He only did something that one time, and then he was kind of like not... He was kind of on the sidelines.
Yeah, you don't really see it so much in the movie, but when you...
And then in the trailer, seems like the one time they show him, he falls apart because... Mm. I was going to call him Doomsday. That's not Doomsday. Thanos takes the Infinity Stone from him.
Right. And that's the thing. So as unstoppable as the Vision can be, there is a way that you could write it and be like, here's the logical way to stop him. Just get the Hulk to rip him apart. Get the Hulk to pin him down and rip that thing off of his head.
Your breath smells like stevia.
That's not a bad thing.
I didn't say it was. I just said you took a sip and then it just to my face.
Hit you in the head. No Filter podcast. That's what you call it. The Cave of No Filter.
Sorry, you were in the middle of a thought and I threw something at you.
I kind of am past the point of seeing heroes fight each other. Like, it's been done. It's such a 90s
It's been
trope.
Done on both sides, right? Yeah. Marvel's done the Civil War and then we did BVS. And then it's like it keeps happening.
People just like seeing that sort of who'd win in a race, Superman or the Flash. Who's cosmic power is better, Green Lantern or Silver Surfer. We love that. And it's the same thing you do with any type of sports.
So is there no answer, really?
Of who would beat who?
Yeah.
I would... I think it comes down to two things to me. People who have...
Is there really no such thing as a Marvel versus DC? Is my question.
There's a comic that they did. And they had them go after each other?
No, but what I mean is the conversation, the
who would actually win?
That's what I mean. Oh, like, no. There's no real straight answer.
No, not at all. I don't think so. Someone could say Superman could beat the Hulk, but the Hulk just keeps getting angrier and angrier and he doesn't stop. He mm-hmm. gets stronger the more angry he gets.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. How do you beat the Hulk?
I don't know.
But somebody's written it that Bruce Banner gave instructions to Hawkeye in the comic that if he is about to lose control again, Hawkeye would get him, and he shoots an arrow through his head, and that, like, really? Oh, that's all that's how we did it. Okay.
Why an arrow and not a bullet?
I think he gave him a, I didn't read it. I
Oh.
just kind of I hear through the grapevine that's how they did it.
I understand.
Yeah.
You were in a train of thought, and I keep taking you everywhere.
No, that's okay. So getting back to the Disney Fox deal, does that excite you? The potential that these two could basically monopolize the movie industry if they make this deal?
I'm gonna say no.
Why? A lot of cool things could happen because of it.
And until I know what they are.
Would you want to see the X-Men be made by Marvel Studios? Or are you
Can
done?
I get an explanation as to what that is again?
Sure.
I don't know. I
Okay, so
Disney, Marvel Studios, Marvel,
so Disney owns.
electronics. So I don't know what's what.
So Disney bought, obviously, like Lucasfilms, which is the Star Wars and Indiana Jones product,
Yeah.
right? They control that. Disney,
Disney, yeah.
right? Disney also owns ABC, right?
Uh-huh.
Whenever you see Buena Vista at the end
Okay.
of a show, it's
Yeah.
Disney.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's Disney, yeah.
Okay.
So all the shows that you like on ABC, Disney owns them.
Okay.
Disney also bought Marvel. So all Marvel intellectual properties, the comics, the characters, the video games, they're owned by Disney. But
Okay.
they have their own separate studio, kind of like how Pixar has their own separate studio.
Disney has.
Yeah, so Disney, Marvel Studios, it's kind of like it's a branch of Disney. So they make the Avengers character movies. The Marvel universe that it has the continuity where everything connects, that's Disney. Fox, back in the day, were bought the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four, and I even think it was Daredevil. Could be mistaken on
So
that
all the
one.
bad movies, all the crappy movies.
But they're be not right. But they're not being made by Marvel Studios.
They're being made by Fox.
Made by Fox. They're still Marvel movies, but they're not associated with Disney at all. And
Okay.
that's why you never see Spider-Man swing through an X-Men movie. Or you never seen Captain America in the X-Men universe. They don't exist in the each other's world because they're owned by different movie companies, the property.
So the two different moving companies was Fox
Fox.
and Marvel Studios.
Disney.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So if
And Spider-Man was in Fox for a while.
Spider-Man was with Sony.
So, oh, son of a
The
bitch.
reason being, we've talked about this way back in the beginning of our show, and I'm sure a lot of people listening is like, yeah, we know this story. But to explain to
I remember
you,
you explaining this to
yeah,
me, but I
it's a lot.
forget,
Yeah.
yeah.
The reason being was that Marvel was going to go bankrupt back in the late 90s. So in order to keep their company afloat, they sold their characters' movie rights. The biggest characters,
Who's gonna Marvel?
Marvel did. They
Okay.
said, here, Fox, you can have the rights to make X-Men movies,
Okay.
right?
Yeah.
And Fox paid them a certain amount to have that property.
Yes.
So and then they, Sony, would you like one of our characters to make movies with?
So they were just whoring their characters?
Basically,
That's
to stay
terrible.
afloat as a company because they were going to go bankrupt just as a company publishing comic books, right? So it's a desperate effort. But then when Disney bought it, they said, we're going to make movies with all of these properties that we got because there's hundreds and hundreds of characters we could use, but we can't use the ones that everybody knows that well, like Wolverine or Spider-Man.
Okay, so that's why they did the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's why they did. That's why they started with Iron Man.
See, look who's catching on.
There you go.
Who's paying attention? Who went to class today?
Who went to class before and didn't take notes? So that's why they said we're gonna have to use these other characters to make movies out of, which were more challenging because it's a bit of a harder sell to get people to be interested in Thor
Right.
as opposed
But
to
he was still the main character in Marvel, right?
he is, but it's kind of like if it's kind of like
He wasn't a B-rate character in the Marvel
He
universe.
goes back and forth. He's like a B A-lister.
Depending on who's writing him, you mean?
Depending on the era, depending on this, like what's happening. It's always kind of, especially in the 80s into 90s, Wolverine, Spider-Man,
the X-Men. They're the face of Marvel.
They were kind of like, yeah, what everybody was into.
I understand.
The universes were kind of built around them. Avengers were the secondary team for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still A-list characters, but Iron Man was never on the level of, you know, somebody like Wolverine.
Should have never been.
I know you don't like your Iron Man. But imagine DC wanting to start a movie universe, but they don't have Batman to do it with.
Ooh, that's tough.
Right? So they're like...
So who would... Ooh. Who would you do?
If they didn't have Batman and Superman? Mm-hmm. Then you might have to go with Green Lantern. Or The Flash. Or... Aquaman, or, you know, it'd be tough because all those characters are so intricately connected, right? You mm-hmm. can't really have Titans and say, if you did, and the thing was, with Fox owning the X-Men, Marvel Studios, if you notice, have no mutants in their movies. There isn't one mutant.
That's right.
Even Scarlet Witch and her brother there, Quicksilver. They're mutants, but they weren't presented that way in the movie, in the Avengers
movie.
They were gifted. They were never mutants. Right?
Okay. So, but they still used them.
They still use them, but they're not mutants. Right? Everything mutant related is all Fox. Mm-hmm. So Marvel Comics, for a while, was like, stop making new mutants. No more new mutants. We can't give this competition now more material to build off of. Because one of the biggest characters in Marvel Comics that's like making hand over fist money for them is Deadpool. Deadpool is one of their biggest characters right now. But they can't make a movie of him. Fox has it because he's a mutant.
He's a mutant?
Yeah, that's why the X-Men, he's in that universe. That's why Colossus was in the movie, and they were talking about potentially putting Wolverine in the movie.
Deadpool's a mutant? I thought he was just a guy.
No, he's a mutant. He's part of the X universe. That's where he comes from.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There you go.
I just got taken to school.
Same with, again, with the school. Same with the Fantastic Four.
Terrible.
If
who did that one, the last Fox. One?
Fox has that.
Unbelievable.
Too. Yeah. And the reason why is because if they don't make a movie with those characters within a certain amount of years, the rights revert back to Disney. So they keep on making movies.
But they're making crappy movies.
Doesn't matter to them. They're holding the property. That's why there's so many Spider-Man movies.
Oh.
They did 3 Spider-Man and then they restarted it right away. People are like, why did you restart it? We already have 3. You're going to the back to the beginning. Right. The reason being is we got to keep making these things to
but
retain the property.
But as a consumer, you're thinking, yeah, please. Because after that debacle, that Tobey Maguire disaster, Venom.
Right.
Episode.
Right.
Personality switch. And that like you, we. I think as a viewer, as a fan, you're begging for a do over.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then.
It was valid making another movie. It wasn't necessarily trying to. I mean, from a business standpoint, I'm sure they tried to let's keep this character.
Right.
But it wasn't necessary evil.
In a way, it was good because they were going to make a 4th Spider-Man. They're like, you know what? Let's just start over and refresh the page. But then with the 2nd Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie, right, again they found themselves in the same position saying, well, people are already tired of what we tried this time because we couldn't. It's like it's the same thing that's happening now with Batman, right? How many times are we gonna, people are connected to a certain version of that character and now they have to, so people watch Ben Affleck and be like, but so is he taking over for Christian Bale, or mm-hmm. how do we understand that? The geeks understand it; they know what's happening. But the casual viewer who just likes to go watch this is not
the fans.
Not the geeks.
I don't know. Is that a derogatory term? Everyone's no. sensitive. I don't know.
No, it's not a derogatory.
It's not, okay. No. Fine.
So, yeah,
You know what I mean? Everything's a hot topic these days. Everything's a hot topic. My God. You gotta be careful with what you say, tiptoeing, walking on eggshells. So it's okay.
Yes,
it's okay. Nerds, geeks.
Geeks, absolutely.
No, so not nerds.
Nerds is good too.
Okay.
No one minds that no more.
You know what? Forget about everybody. Do you mind it?
I don't mind it at all.
If someone refers to you as a geek, if they come into this house and they see our JLA magnets on our fridge, or they see our lunch boxes, you have a Superman one, I have a Batman one, they see my Batmobile, or they see your man cave, they see the Batman Snuggie that I have in your Batman your Superman blanket, like, you're good with that.
And they call me a geek?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
Nerd.
I don't care. If they're trying to do it to hurt my feelings and laugh at me, then I'll take it like you're saying it to be mean. But then I'll be like, you're the one who's going to go watch it anyways and ask me about it. So shut up. That's always what happens, right? People want to make fun of you for it, but then they go watch it themselves.
Copy that.
So where was I?
I don't know. I went right this time.
Yeah.
I'm going all over the place.
So my point being is that if Disney and Fox make this deal, they'll control about 40% of what goes into movie theaters.
If Disney and Fox make this deal. But we don't want Fox to make a deal. We want Fox out of there because they're ruining everything, are they not?
But what I'm saying, if they make this deal, the X-Men will go back to its home.
Oh, I see.
But also, Aliens franchise will belong to Disney. Simpsons belong to Disney, potentially.
So Fox is out of business?
They won't be out of business. They'll be combined with Disney. So it'll almost be like a monopoly in a way. And it controls the market, and they'll control what goes into theaters. And they could also say, you know what? Netflix, we're gonna have our own streaming service. So you can have Netflix, but you'll have no Disney movies. And when you consider 40% of what is made nowadays between Fox and Disney, you're going to have to stream two different companies in order to have content. Because you're just looking at it from, let's say, animated movies you associate with Disney. But that's Star Wars.
Right.
That's Indiana Jones. That's Marvel. Then that's going to also be all the Fox movies that you're not aware of.
Mm.
You know, think of like something like New Girl. That's Fox. It's one of your gems. Simpsons is Fox. Avatar is Fox. Aliens. All of these different television shows that you watch. Grey's Anatomy, Disney. You won't be able to get it on Netflix anymore. Potentially, right? Because they could essentially say, we're doing everything ourselves. We've got enough content that you need. And they could control that whole. They could just have a movie theater all to themselves and only show their stuff.
You should have been a businessman.
No, I read this on an article. I didn't figure this out myself.
I'm so impressed.
Why?
I don't know. It's either the liqueur or...
I think it's the liqueur because you're looking at me like I've got... There's three of me here.
You're so wise.
We've been talking for an hour about jargon.
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 Even
nonsense.
The words are wise.
So, speaking of starting over, this was me doing a lot of talking and you just listening to me. You never gave me your opinion. How do you feel about that happening?
What was the question?
It's a question about Marvel and Fox striking a deal that would mean they would get all of Marvel's properties back. Would you like to see that?
Disney?
Yes.
Getting everything?
Yes.
Oh, it sounds terrible, but yeah. Like, it sounds so powerful. You know what I mean? It almost sounds like a villain, just monopolizing everything.
Yeah.
But I guess if they'll make good storytelling, then yeah. If it keeps from a Spider-Man 3 happening or another disastrous Fantastic Four that I never saw, but it apparently was terrible.
Apparently. I've never seen it.
And the feedback alone makes me cringe. I'm like, ooh, I don't even wanna waste my time, even if I could waste my time. Like,
yeah.
even if I wanted to fall asleep to this movie, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah.
It's beneath me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So It's a little scary to me. It's like, whoa, they're just taking over. They're just like stepping on the little guy and just, you know, big picture wise, it just seems so. But I get, yeah, if you want quality, then that's what has to happen. Sure.
There's that part of it of saying like, oh, cool. The people who make good stuff is going to have the stuff that they're ruining. It'll go here, right? But then, like you said, they could control the market in such a way where people's artists will also be, the gatekeeping on artistry will now be so controlled by this industry of monopolizing. Mm-hmm. So even like the little guy who's like, I'd like to make this little movie.
And who knows? I find too, I mean, I'm not trying to make this serious, but I find that especially with media, there's always an agenda, right? They're always trying to feed their own ideology and their...
That's the point, yes.
Yeah, and I feel like when you give someone that much power, you will inadvertently, or unbeknownst to yourself, be fed a certain thought.
And
that...
along with those lines, that agenda, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how the deal would work out. I have no idea who.
Right.
But Fox News, how could Disney be affecting or be in bed, let's say, with Fox News, but then also have ABC?
Right.
So you think of Fox News.
Right.
And then you think of The View.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same people own them both.
Yeah.
Or controlling them both. It's a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's more than just these intellectual properties that will be controlled by a movie studio. It's the media industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. So it's interesting. It's more than just like, hey, look, these toys are going to go into that sandbox. Yay! Yeah. It's like they're going to control everything, potentially, or on the road to it. Right?
Yes.
It's kind of ominous in a way.
Yes, I was just saying that word in my head. How'd you know?
I read your mind. I'm like the Martian Manhunter. You're so impressed. You really believe me that I read your mind. I didn't read your mind.
But I did have it in my head. I promise I did.
I believe you.
Whoa.
He still said whoa again. All right, one last thing before we get out of here. They're saying that, not saying, this is statistics, Justice League is the lowest grossing opener of the DC entertainment movies.
Not surprised.
So, builds up, right? You start with Man of Steel, BVS, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, building up for this Justice League movie. Finally, the Justice League comes together, the movie comes out. I didn't hate it as much as you did.
I didn't hate it.
I'm just saying, as much as you.
I was on the fence.
Right. I'm a little bit like, yeah,
and
it was
I'm
fun.
Falling off of it a little.
Yeah. I don't know which side, but but so imagine you got Iron Man, Cap, Thor, Iron Man 2, and then the Incredible Hulk, right? They did like 5-6 movies. And then the Avengers come out. So imagine all those movies come out and then the Avenger is the lowest grossing opener after all that buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
No.
So there's a bit of a shakeup that's going to go on at DCEU.
Are they going to fire some people?
I think they've already removed some people from management positions. What would you like to see with a potential shakeup? If they're saying, you know what, this... financially now, this isn't good. We've set this up, we've introduced this, we've got Justice League movie. But we are not competing with our competition the way we'd like to, as far as like market share and having the numbers we're anticipating and what we're investing into it. So with that said, as a fan of DC, because you're a DC fan girl, would you want them to just blow it up? Or would you want them to take what they got and adjust it? How would you fix what they got.
Blow it up in the sense of, like, dissolve what they have and start from scratch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? How could...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Do you think that this could be fixed with a Flashpoint movie? Pregnant pause.
That's a good question. I want to say yes, but my answer is going to be no.
Okay, how come?
Because I think these time travel movies are just a band-aid solution or the shortcut to fixing their mistakes.
Right.
And I know it makes for good storytelling, but I think it makes for good storytelling on paper better than it does on the big screen.
Right. I agree.
I know when there was, what was that one?
Days of Future Past?
No. Anyway, there was that Superman one where his cousin died. There was a big one. And they did everything over again.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
There was that, right? There was the Flashpoint. Mm-hmm. There was I think to me is that's their crutch. Like, oh, we'll just say something happened to the timeline and just reboot. It seems cheap to me to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Not on paper though. If we're talking comics, I think that's a little different. I don't really know how to explain that reasoning, but I do feel it's different on paper than when you're talking about doing it in a film.
I think, I think you're right. I think on paper, when you're telling a serialized story where years and years go by, decades go by, and you've got to somehow refresh the page, changing up a timeline is almost necessary. Mm-hmm. To be like, okay, refresh, and people have kind of become accustomed.
And I think, too, they can pace themselves on it because, you know, mm-hmm. every issue can have a certain explanation. It's not rushed. As opposed to in a movie, it's time constraint.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do within a certain bracket of time, if you will.
Yeah.
So I would rather they just squash it, admit their fault, take the high road, and start again. Go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see how they would clean it up. Because now they're even saying that Affleck will not continue in the Batman solo movies that they're planning on making. I don't know if those movies were going to tell prequel stories of Batman in his early years in Gotham with the Robins or whatever and tell you that story. Mm. Or if it's going to pick up on whatever Ben Affleck does. I think...
That's too bad, because even though I was one of those that were like, we need to petition and get him out of there, I liked him as the Batman. I just don't know why they had to make him old. I feel like they shortened his time span for cornering Affleck to a contractual, you have to be Batman for this long. I don't know why they would limit him at a certain time. By starting him out at a certain age, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I think there's that combination of the Christopher Nolan shadow of rooting, like when they started the Man of Steel, Christopher Nolan was producing it, right? And him and Zack Snyder were kind of in partnership in making that story, and it was always that similar ideology of, what if this happened in our world for real? That this child was an alien and was living in our world. What would the effect of that be? How would we view it? What would he actually have to react to? I think you can't be overly concerned. It's not in, we don't want to know what it's like in our world if that were to happen. And it was that same thing that Christopher Nolan was trying to do with Batman, right? Like, no other heroes are living in my, this is the real world, and everything he does has to be, there has to be reason for it. How can I make it real? So the Joker can't fall in chemicals and have a white face. He's just got to paint his face because that's what would be in the real world. And it's at some point, like, you're working on comic book adaptations. Like, you don't got to make Hush. You don't have to make The Long Halloween a movie.
Well, it would be a beautiful, beautiful feature film.
That would be amazing. But you got to, it's a comic book at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I hear you.
So, accept it.
I think what Nolan was trying to do was trying to dignify
that's fine
this character that's and fine. The world that he was. I don't hate the idea that it was put in a realist, because that was, I think that was one of the things that we said in the last podcast, that it seemed as though in the, not BVS, well, even the BVS and the Justice League movie, it almost seemed like Batman didn't really have a place to be. It seemed unrealistic for him to be amongst such super powerful beings. He wasn't doing anything except crawling up the side of buildings and, you know, having stupid conversations either by himself or with someone, or just disappearing. He would disappear. As opposed to, I feel in the Nolan movies, there was reason for him to be there. And there was unquestionable talent and skill on his part against the villains that were, granted, purposely chosen to be his opposers. So I appreciated the elegance that Christian Nolan took.
He treated them like films.
He did, and I really liked that. I appreciated it. I guess the only thing that, like you said, it kind of limited future development or character introductions to other pivotal characters that are in Batman's life. Mm-hmm. You know?
But don't you feel like Winter Soldier was on par with the best of the Nolan films? Like, as a Marvel movie? I feel that one is as good as those films.
Yeah.
And it found a way to introduce and acknowledge the world he lived in that included other heroes and fantastic ideas.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, they were still just people. Like, regular people.
In Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Carmine Falcone was just a mob guy.
Yeah.
He was a mafioso.
Oh.
Okay. Then Dr. Crane, he was just a psycho in a mask.
Yeah, those are that's Batman's universe.
But that's what I mean. Like, Batman doesn't necessarily go up against monsters. The biggest monster I can, not the biggest, but just off the top of my head right now, maybe Clayface.
Killer Croc,
yeah, he's kind of like a mutant kind of thing.
Bane.
But still, these are all still villains that sourced from being just regular people. Something just happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joker's a psychotic individual, but he's still a person.
Right, yeah. Okay,
Pamela is still a woman. She's not like the, you know, she has the superpower, but she's still...
I like you call her Pamela.
What? What's your name? Catwoman, same thing. They have human abilities. They're heightened, but they're still human. You know, but Superman, he's going to have Darkseid and Doomsday and General Zod and, you know, all of these superhuman things that are in different universes. You know what I mean? So the playing field is a little differently, and that's why different. And that's why I feel like I hear your point. But I, in my opinion, I don't know, the way Chris Nolan did his movies, I think they were elegant and they dignified the character of Batman and what he's capable of. Because Batman is a serious character. I mean, I know he's fictional and all, but he is a character that takes himself seriously in the way he's written as the reader, as someone who's invested in the story. It is a serious story, yeah. You know? But you can write a story about Superman being on a dinosaur island, and it's acceptable because intuitively it makes sense for him to go up against a T-Rex or some pterodactyl spelled with a P. You know what I mean? Like that, it's plausible. But for Batman to be there, what business does he have to be there except for the fact that they were in the middle of having a drink together and all of a sudden he's like, I'm coming with you because, you know, you're my BFF and I have to do everything I can to help out. What business does he have being amongst certain in the movie world?
I think it can be done if they set it up a certain way.
Exactly, which goes back to my point. Scratch it. Do it again. Back to the drawing board.
I think I don't know how it works in the Warner Brothers office, but the way it was in the Marvel offices was that they had a brain trust of people who were creators of the comic books and knew the characters, as well as people who were producers of the movies who had a respect for continuity and the character, and they all worked together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Thor was given to a Shakespearean director in Kenneth Branagh to capture, yeah, right?
That's smart.
Right. And then, you know, Jon Favreau started it off with Iron Man, and he was the guy who championed Robert Downey Jr. So everybody who was given certain characters were the right people to capture that era, as opposed to DC saying, here, Zack Snyder, well, you do it all, and you kind of control the whole universe. And I
think DC was playing catch up with Marvel, and that was their first mistake.
Yeah. I think they rested on the laurels of the fact of, like, well, we got Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. They don't have that.
Yeah.
And just because you have that, it doesn't necessarily... If you don't connect... The connectivity of these things make it work and make it consistent. It's going to leave...
Besides Chris Nolan, is there a Batman solo movie? After post-Chris Nolan? No, right? He was first introduced in...
BVS.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. No solo. So now with Ben Affleck...
But Superman had a solo movie.
Man of Steel.
And Wonder Woman had a solo movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rushed into it.
Yeah.
They rushed way...
But they insert the Batman character into everything wherever they can, even like Suicide Squad. And I think they rely too heavily on people's attachment to Batman just being there as that's good enough.
That'll carry us through. Well, you know what? Sometimes it is, though. Yeah. I'm not saying it's excusable. I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm like, whoa, there he is. There he is! You know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie, I got excited. I hated Suicide Squad. I didn't like it at all. At all. But as soon as I saw him, like,
You had that moment of ecstasy.
All the dots connected.
Oh, yeah, everything makes sense.
No, but... As ridiculous as some things panned out, you do have that moment of, okay, something good is happening. You know what I mean? You have a moment of clarity. Like, okay.
You make a good point. You make a good point there. So...
Why, thank you.
You bring up Suicide Squad. And the only connectivity in the Suicide Squad, anything else, is that Batman showed up in it. And the Flash showed up and captured Captain Boomerang. What point did that movie have to exist? See, when you look at Marvel, all of those movies, as much as they're individual movies, set up the coming together of the Avengers. Right? The Captain America, it starts off the first Avenger with them having the Tesseract, the cube.
Mm-hmm.
That Red Skull wants. Mm-hmm. That came from Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Kobe, that's Monopoly. You can't play with that.
And they open up the film with them going into a Norwegian, or I forgot what it was, but a place where there's all these Asgardian and Norse mythology, like almost like a little temple.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the connectivity
mm-hmm.
to Thor. And they get the Tesseract. And then the Iron Man movies, the thing that powers his chest, the technology behind it, is quite possibly Tesseract technology from the cube.
But didn't he make that himself, though?
He made it himself, but his father, remember, his father studied it because they found it when...
They were looking for Cap.
They were looking for Cap. They found that thing, and then they just kept on studying that sort of thing. They couldn't figure out the periodic table, the elements of it, mm-hmm. to make it, to recreate it. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said, you will have the means to recreate it, and this thing will help you. Okay. So there's this through line through those movies where each of those movies have a point.
There was a consistency.
Right, whereas these ones, Wonder Woman story has no point, really, into why she becomes a member of the Justice League, other than we see her and she's introduced.
Well, she just comes in.
Right, but there's no...
And starts fighting Doomsday.
Right, but there's no... She comes in, she fights Doomsday because she's around looking for a picture of her and Steve Trevor. That's what the Wonder Woman movie's based on. The suicide.
No, it's not.
It's telling the story of her. It links BVS. You see her in the picture, so you know she's hundreds of years old. And that picture, you're like, what's that story about? We're gonna tell you what that story is about. Here's why Chris Pine is in the picture, and we'll lead you everything up to that moment where they take that picture, and then the movies connect.
Yeah, but I don't think that was the thing to connect. Well, okay, hold on. I think that was it. I think that was a subtle link, but I don't think that was the purpose of the movie.
No, that's what I mean. That's the link, right?
Subtle, though. I think it was a gesture from Bruce to be like, hey, this is what I came across. Thought you might like to have it. You know?
Right, right. You're right. But what I'm saying is...
I'm thirsty.
Me too. There's nothing about the Man of Steel movie, the BVS. Like, when you really, really break them down, and even Suicide Squad, what contribution does it make to why they had to form a Justice
League? Well, none. League? That's why I said I think DC's major flaw was that they were just trying to catch up to Marvel. And just to do it.
Because it would have been nice for... Okay, the Amazons show up in Justice League when they're there. So you know who's who, who's Hippolyta, you know Themyscira because of the Wonder Woman movie, right? Mm-hmm. So you watch Justice League, like, I know why that's there. I've seen this before. But it would have been nice for the Justice League movie to have...
Kobe!
For the Wonder Woman movie to have a direct effect on her experience in that movie to have a direct effect on what happens in the Justice League. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whereas in the other movies, all of those things was a buildup of we need to form a team. Nick Fury shows up and says, I want to, you know, you're the first that we're going to start with this Avengers team. And then the Incredible Hulk, you see... Thunderbolt Ross trying to take him down, yada yada yada. Tony Stark says, hey, I want to talk to you about an Avengers thing. You get to Civil War, Thunderbolt Ross is there. There is this connectivity throughout the whole thing of, do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, mm-hmm. They've always made what happened here affect what happens in the next movie. It was a little more seamless. Yeah. Even if it happened in Thor, there's something about why Cap is doing it. It's like, oh, that thing... that Thor and Loki were fighting over here that fell, ended up there, and now it's affecting Cap's timeline, and then they lose that, and Howard Stark finds the Tesseract, and when they're trying to find Cap, and that's why Tony Stark's able to make that little thing in his chest that powers his new suits.
And that's why he has had such a tizzy against the Cap, because there's a history between...
Exactly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, everybody's story intertwines in a way that makes sense for them to get to that point.
Yeah.
Whereas Suicide Squad's like, okay, end? well, you know what I mean? We made it 4, so we can sell Harley Quinn stuff? Like, basically.
Yeah.
Well, why wasn't Amanda Waller in Justice League?
Especially since she met with... like ruse at the end of the...
Exactly. So why... It would have been...
With incriminating evidence, mind you. Like, or... How, or
you know? Like, how cool would it have been if when Cyborg and Flash are digging up Superman's body, when they get to it, there's no body in it. Because Amanda Waller's already taken it. You know what I'm trying to say?
You need to start writing to these people, Eric.
I don't know. We didn't have a show about anything today, but we talked about a lot of crap. It's fun.
Yeah.
Who would you pick for Batman to take over for Affleck? That's what that's all I wanted to talk to you about, but took an hour and 20 minutes to ask you that question.
That's hard.
Jake Hill and Hula Hal?
Okay, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. I think you could do it. Young, like he should have been Batman.
I feel like I could see it, but if I'm thinking young Batman, I'm thinking Nightwing, and I'm thinking he could do Nightwing. The Jake Gyllenhaal. I see him more as a Nightwing. I don't know Batman. I don't know. But I think why I liked Christian Nolan's Batman a lot is because... Nolan. Ugh, why do I see Nolan all the time? Nolan's Batman is... I didn't know Christian Bale. Mm. I didn't know his face. And I think with any superhero, not just Batman because he's my favorite, but any hero, they have to be unrecognizable. Mm. It has to be someone... But it's a sacrifice on their part, right? Because then they'll be forever known as... Oh, that's the guy that played so-and-so. Mm. But I think it's a necessary evil.
Mm. Interesting.
I can't. I'll...
I think you could do it.
I bought it after a while. A little bit. But all I saw was Affleck.
Yeah?
I don't want to see the actor. I want to see my Batman. I want to see Batman.
I just want his voice modulator to be Kevin.
And I don't know why they don't figure that out.
That's all I want.
They're all sounding, you know, muffled and like they're fighting a cold or...
Just make the... Yeah, imagine that. The voice modulator is Kevin Conroy's voice. Woo! That'd be the best.
Can you write that in, please? Just write it in. What happens.
Listen.
Take a chance.
I have no... You make it seem like I've got... You know what? I did meet Jeff Johns.
Well, hello.
I have an email address now to the DC offices. I will try.
Do it. With great power comes great responsibility.
Wrong company.
Doesn't matter. It's still applicable.
We're going to wrap this up. This is fun. This is good. We could keep going. But you look like you, if you take another sip of this drink, you're going to call it a night on me.
I could hold my own. I could do it.
Can you?
Yeah.
That was one of your explanations tonight. You actually said, that was your answer.
This was fun. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say.
As long as you show up to the... As long as you're on the show, it's going to be a good one.
I hope everyone had fun.
I hope so.
I did.
I'm pretty sure it's only going to be Martin and Shane that listen.
Maybe.
Shout out to them.
Shout out.
Thanks, Dev J. We'll wrap it up. Anybody listening, please email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or leave us a review at iTunes as well. We are on Podcast Addict. We're on Stitcher.
And like us on Instagram.
Like us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. We interact. You send us a message, we answer back. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for listening to The Cave of Solitude. I am Eric Anthony.
I'm Lady J.
The Butterbee Can Bronze Chocolate Deluxe Lady J.
Thanks, everyone. I like that. You like that? That has to happen all the time.
Every
now.
Time? Yeah. The Butter Pecan Chocolate Deluxe? Yeah. I gotta remember how to say that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back soon. Take care.
Good night.